The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host, guest, random reptoid, or chupacabra may not necessarily reflect those of AM 950 Radio, its affiliates, or its sponsors. Now, it's time to step into the unknown. There are things people experience but never talk about. A shadow moving in the corner, flickering of the lights, a disembodied voice. We invite you to talk with us. Share your story, share your experience. Because this isn't just your story, this is our story. This is Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken.
And this is Ghost Box Radio on AM 950, where every night we talk about the paranormal, ufology, Bigfoot, and so much more. My name is Greg Bakken. Thank you very much for joining me tonight. You know, this is a program. Tonight's subject is something that I've been waiting to talk about for some time. My guest and I have been talking about doing this for some time. And as some of you may remember, back in September, I believe it was, we had M.K. Davis on. And M.K. was talking about the Patterson-Gimlin film, what he actually calls the Patterson film. And we went through that with a fair amount of detail. But I know that there is more going on with it. There's actually a lot of work happening to the film that's beyond even what MK and I had talked about in September that we wanted to talk about, that we wanted to get out there. And I'm actually truly honored tonight because I am talking tonight with Todd Gatewood. And Todd has been working on this film, and it's not like a side project. It's not something that is a matter of, you know, he has a decent quality copy and he's, you know, doing some work on it. As he will explain to you, you don't get closer than what he's doing right now. There is a lot of good things happening that he is finding. We're going to talk about some of that tonight, some of that stuff that has not been talked about before. But there is a lot going on. Now, I just want to let everyone know, especially if you're listening on a radio service, that tonight's going to be rather graphical in terms of a lot of pictures. Not graphic as gore or anything, but graphic picture. Like, we're showing pictures. We are showing some visual aids here tonight. And if you are just listening on the radio, feel free to check out Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken on Facebook and watch the video replay. Or hop over right now. We will be taking questions at some point during the program, but we have an idea of what we want to talk about, what Todd would like to present tonight. So we're just going to kind of fit things in as we can, but there's a lot of stuff that I know that Todd wants to get to, and we're going to get to it right now. Todd, welcome to Ghost Box Radio.
Greg, thank you so much. It's an honor to be here.
Really. You are bubbling again, funny enough. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, no. Wouldn't you know? Sorry.
Do you want
to try the same thing? And
yeah, let's try that again. Fresh. Let's try that again. We believe, actually, that Bigfoot is stopping Todd from talking about the Patterson-Gimlin film. And that's just, you know, this is how it goes. Let's get him back on here, see if that helped.
I'm back.
You're back.
I think that worked. I'm back and not so bubbly, folks. Great start, right?
Right. So. As I was saying, when you're gone, I mean, I think it's Bigfoot that doesn't want you to reveal the secrets of that film. But why don't we start wherever you'd like to start, but also, you know, a little bit of background, please, if you will.
Sure. Maybe Bigfoot does want the things out. You know, once again, thank you very much. It's an honor to be here as a fan of the show and you. It's just a high honor. And the listeners, thank you for letting me talk to you guys tonight out there on the plains of Minnesota and around the world. It's an honor to have you here. It's that time of year, so I'm going to say this real quick. I encourage everyone out there to feel good and do a good deed, such as maybe donate to Shriners Hospitals or St. Jude. I want to thank a few people also before I get going that are important. My wife, Ginger. I want to thank M.K. Davis, of course, and Jan and Dr. Bruce Maccabee. And I'm going to get around and talk about those three people quite a bit tonight in the film. Mm-hmm. So I'll step aside from that and we'll keep moving because they're super key and everything, really. special shout outs to the Bigfooters that I've got to meet. Some I have, some I haven't. One, Scott Carpenter, God rest his soul. I don't feel like mine and his friendship really got to its, it just didn't get to its maturity. I met him, you know, everything that I did kind of came out the first of this year.
Okay.
And I was able to meet Scott through reach out, and Scott was giving me shout outs in his videos, and I was working with him on some of his film techniques and whatnot, and then we lost a great one there. So, also, you know, I really admire the crew, the entire crew of the Small Town Monsters are putting out great content and research for people at home, like the listeners who, you know, not everyone can get out and be in the field, and it's very important for people to think about this and be at home and have input, and they give a lot of material out. I think it's important. I think the Eichenberger, Rim and Schneider Power Couple team are doing great movies, and everyone loves their work. I want to thank, you know, Rocky Mountains Sasquatch for what they put out, Don Monroe, Barry Webster, Dave Politis, Ron Moorhead, a visionary. I think this will get back in the future that Ron Moorhead was way ahead of his time on all the things he said. Ishtal, Steve Ishtal, Harvey Pratt, Chris Reinhart, Doug Hijack, there's a lot of stuff coming out of that camp that people should be excited about. Did I mention Danny Birchfield, the Beaver Clan, Gary Beaver, Loki Beaver, Lisa Beaver, Beverly, formerly of Colville, and of the Muscogee Creek Nation, super important to a lot of the knowledge of the, and the wisdom of the elders. I'm Todd Gatewood, and I'm a Belmont alum. I'm a native Oklahoman.
And Todd, I hate to say it, but you're bubbling up again. It's like whenever you take a break, it doesn't bubble. It's like something to do with is I don't know if it's like a feedback or whatever it is. I feel so horrible to have to interrupt you with that.
All right. Well, am I still bubbling?
Yeah, you are. Do you want to? Would you think? And I'm sorry we have to do this on the air, but do you think you could? You want to try calling in, and you could tell me what to put on the screen, since you know. I don't know what else to do. You could try calling in. I could put you on mute, so you'd still be on the screen as well. You know, we could try that.
Sure. However you want to just we'll give it one more retry. If we got to call in, we'll do it.
All right. Sounds good. Yeah, it's weird how that works. And, you know, funny enough, Todd and I actually met earlier today, and we did a kind of a run through, and none of this happened, so I'm not really sure. Hopefully third time's the charm. Welcome back, Todd.
thank you. It's been a while. It's good to be back. It's good to be back on your show. Yeah. Now that we're all familiar, we can move right along.
Can we say you've been on my show three times now? Is that how that works?
Technically, this is true. Am I still bubbly?
No, not at the moment. If you do start going that way, I'll let you know. But let's carry on then.
Okay, let's carry on. Where was I? I'm a Belmont alum. I'm a retired financial service professional, a photographer. I'm an archivist, museum archivist, and specialize in developing photographs on Kodak Ektaluri G paper and Marshall oils. So really, and that's part of the just basis of who I am and some of the hats that I wear and the skill set that I've brought to what I hope is the continuation of the Bigfoot discussion and disclosure about what is the phenomena that we've all been so interested in. It came to me, just like a lot of people, in 1967 or shortly thereafter at the end, when I saw the film, and I was blown away as a little kid. And that's all we could talk about sometimes, because, you know, it was a different world back then. It was a very uptight world. There was race conflicts going on. It was a different America. And then we see this film. And, you know, as terrible as that film was, it just caught everyone. And it's still going today. That's why we're here. And So.
Well, and I think that's a very important piece to it as well, to your point that, I mean, this is something that, you know, could be used as something that, the film that is, and the seeing this cryptid as a way of kind of letting the world know that it's, you know, maybe it's not as big as a thing that we think, or as small as we think it is, that there are other things out there, and maybe not focus on some of that rife. And unfortunately, it didn't work out that way. But, you know, that there was something to kind of rally around a little bit.
I gotta agree. So let's start this story. My photos came out that I produce to the world, to show the world. I really produce them just to see for myself. I'm just interested in what is Bigfoot look like.
Yeah.
You know, and being interested in computers and having worked in them my entire life, every time something came out, whether it was back in bulletin board days, file sharing, however you had to collect it, I saved it and tried to work on it a little bit, just tried to get something from it, you know? And that passion kept on. It really hit earnest and got going in the last 3 years. And I was able to really make some big progress through collecting some great images and going through the list of who's who on Bigfooters. Uh-oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know what's up next. Yep, yep. Yeah. I am so sorry. Why don't we do this? In the comments, in the private chat, I'm going to put our number here. What is it? I'm going to put that in there for you so you can give me a call real fast. All right. We're going to do that and put that in there now for you. If you want to give me a call, I'm going to take a break right now. And that will give us an opportunity to get ourselves reset a little bit. Did you get it? Okay. So mm-hmm. Let's do that. Let's give ourselves a break right now. When we come back, hopefully we'll be able to get things figured out for Todd and be able to have a fantastic program. You're listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. Now the moment of truth as whether or not I actually know how to use this board and bring on Todd back on the air. Todd, are you with me?
I'm here. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you. You're coming through loud and clear. All right. So okay. Now let's do this again. I think we should be just fine. Todd, take it away, please.
All right. It's a little challenging on my end because I've got a slapback thing happening. And I'm going to try to remedy it real quick. I'm going to turn my volume down here, Greg.
Yep, just mute it.
And proceed from that way, because I got to pull one of these out. I can only do one.
Sounds good.
Dun, 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 dun.
We are getting situated live.
I know, just... Sorry about this, folks. Put these guys away here. Hold on.
So what we're talking about tonight... I'm gonna mute him there. He got himself... Okay.
There we go, I think.
Nope. You gotta mute your computer. I'm getting feedback.
Hold on, boss. Hold on, boss.
So we're... All right. Todd, give me a thumbs up when you're ready to try again, because it's just echoing. Okay, let's try it again.
No, you're...
I'm going to put that down. So, folks, we're learning how to use... the radio out live on the air. And Lynette's like, that's the fun of live programming. It certainly is. You have to kind of figure it out. And I'm looking on my end over here, seeing if there's something that I am missing and trying to figure out in terms of how we can get this going for Todd. Todd, have you muted your computer itself? So you can't hear the show through your speakers on your computer.
Helping at all.
Okay, there.
We're now mute.
Okay, now I'm not getting any feedback.
Okay, good. Neither am I.
Good.
Okay.
Here we go.
Sorry about that.
No,
again.
It's quite all right. We worked through it, and that's teamwork.
I have to make the dream work.
Yeah. Go for it.
Yeah, so... we were at the film and how it captivates people, and I'm no different, and I've been working on it for all these years, and I started making some serious progress here the past few years, I work on Macintosh computers, and I use really the standard equipment that, a photographer would use in a digital darkroom: Photoshop, Pixelmator, PixInsight, and Deep Sky Tracker, a few of the things that I use to photography and alignment. And these are the techniques that are also used to stack photographs of the Patterson frames and help correct them, strip them down. I'm doing this, you know, I didn't know the whole world of Bigfoot even existed online for Facebook, YouTube. You know, I saw it on the big network shows, of course, and, you know, whenever I could see that or watch that. In a rural area, I don't do a lot of television that way or live streaming because mm-hmm. we just didn't have it out here for a long time.
Yeah.
And I just didn't have time in my life generally. But as much as I could, I would, and followed it. And as I started to work on this, I started to do some different things and searching for it. I really got serious. I started looking, and I wanted to know who was who. And I've been collecting for a long time memorabilia in the form of, you know, some people collect letters from famous people, presidents, celebrities, whatnot. And I've collected a lot of communications from the people in the Bigfoot world, and some memorabilia, and because I wanted to get to know who they were on their personal level, even though I could never really know them. And it tells quite a different story on what's going on in that world. So I'm digging around, and I'm looking, and I'm doing file sharings. You know, Google and the internet is dead, and you can't really dig into very far there. And so you have to employ different methods. Like I said, I file sharing's one, it's an older one. There's paid subscription services that you can use. Lots of servers and crawlers, and I even had a technician at one time that worked with me just because it's just gritty searching work through files looking for certain keywords for the Patterson film and file types that would say this is the Patterson film. I knew at one time there's the whole film was out there online. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, websites came and went. One of the key players in this whole mystery is Eric Beckford. And he had a site at one time, and I was lucky enough to get chewed out by him. So I feel kind of lucky, a little brush with greatness. But we'll come back to him, too, because, you know, people say what you will about him. It's because of him we're here, and we're seeing and talking about what we're going to talk about. And M.K. Davis and the Maccabees. So, you know, I will say, so I'm looking around, and then I really hit this kind of jackpot. I realized I got some large images. And by large, I mean file size large.
Yeah.
And this is what I was wanting to work with. Something, you know, oh, hey, now I can get into some pixels and take a look-see. Well, I started to make quite a bit of progress. And I'm going to stop right there at the progress I was making and read something to you. That, and then I'll come back to the progress I was making.
Okay.
So here we are, you know, 2019 or so, 2020, 2021, coming up 2023. And in 1981, this was all being debated. This was all being talked about. What was on this film? Let's admit, what we saw was a crappy copy, mm-hmm. and it probably digressed over the years. There was a huge effort to collect every copy out there, so there was really no great copies for a long time. The handlers of this film wanted the information in a way out there, you'd think, I would think, but it seemed like they didn't run a really good picture of it. I don't, you know, it's a strange deal for me. I didn't quite get it. But I want to read something to you that was written. Once again, it's in regards to John Bickford, and it's in regard to a baby Sasquatch.
Okay.
In the film. And it's by a gentleman named Bruce Bonney from the University of Texas. And he's, you know, a lot of things we talk about tonight are going to be in the history of Bigfoot, and we won't have time to go over who exactly is who and what they played. So this is for people that want to know. I'm trying to give them a good place to start. I encourage everyone to go research this. If we touch about a story, go read about that story. Read several versions of that story. see how it comes and see how that story might have evolved.
Okay.
You know? Anyway, so it's written by Bruce Bonney in response to Beckford and the baby Sasquatch. And he talks about how he says that he's talking about the film, and he knows the quality on it. He says he knows because he's working on color photographs taken directly from the original film. He says, the same film that Roger Patterson was running at Bluff Creek. Now, okay, that's pretty big. This is 1980, and he's working with the camera, the film that was in Roger's camera.
Mm.
Later, this film gets lost to history, we're told.
Yeah.
And we'll come back to that. But in 1980, we know right where it's at. And it's actually Roger Patterson and Eric Beckford were quite close. And we're going to learn more about that. But Chris Bonney goes on to say, in 1980, this program is high quality from the original Patterson-Gimlin film. The original 16mm Kodachrome II film was first enlarged and printed on 4x5-inch Kodak Ektachrome duplicating film 6121. I'll pause right there. People have said this is antiquated old film. Europe these
Todd,
days on it.
Todd, can I interrupt real fast? I think we're losing you on this as well. I think you need to make sure that the phone is close to your mouth because I see it kind of moving away.
Okay.
And it seems like that's when we're kind of missing these important pieces. So I just want to let you know that.
On point, sir. There you go. Right. So I'll continue unless I digress. These 4.5-inch color transparencies, Bruce Bonney goes on to say, were then contact printed on Ilford Cebuchrome A color print material, the sharpest color printing paper available. This printing sequence resulted in the sharpest and clearest color prints ever made of the best frames of the film, having the highest resolution and greatest color fidelity yet produced. For the first time, we have prints which clearly show the creature's face with eyes, nostrils, and lips. Wow.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, right.
He goes on to say, the maximum limit of anatomical resolution in the three sharpest Cebuchrome prints is about 1 centimeter. 1 centimeter, meaning the details of the creature's body larger than 1 square centimeter are visible. So that's exciting. But where is it? I want to see that.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, it's just irritating for me as a photographer. I looked at these frames and I looked at that film and I'm not pleased what I'm seeing. It didn't make a lot of sense in a lot of ways. I didn't, so here I am. I'll stop. I'm chasing down this film.
Mm-hmm.
And I get a great copy and I find it had come originally a long time ago. It's not available there anymore, from a gentleman named M.K. Davis.
Hmm.
And I looked him up. He's easy to find. He's on Facebook just like I am. And I've reached out. I had a list of Bigfooters, who's naughty and who's nice, and I've reached out to a bunch of them, and none of them were nice. A lot of them, they're just, the Bigfoot world's full of angry people, and I don't get it. The UFO world seems a lot nicer. But M.K. was a real prince. He's a really nice gentleman.
Yeah, he's
not selling any books. He's not monetized on his YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
He's out there for the truth. He's wanting it like the rest of us. Well, I contacted him because one thing I began to notice was all the plagiarism involved. And I knew my images that I used his as a base of, I'm layering images and so forth. It's not fair to say I just did that.
Yeah.
So I wanted to call him and say who I am, what I'm doing. And we struck up a friendship. So that was a... we spoke for weeks, and because we were hitting on a lot of the same cylinders and the same things that I was seeing in the film, he'd already gone down that road, and I didn't know that, like I said. So I told him, you know, yeah, you could tell people who I am and all that. I don't mind. It's okay. At the time, I had a Facebook account that was under my dog's name because he's a purebred champ, and I was just keeping up with the 40 or so people in his litter mates and trainer circle and whatnot, breeder and whatnot. And MK, and so at one point, MK, we were looking at frame 352, and I said, he said, you know, that we were talking about the color of her, and she was awful black in that frame. And she's not really black. She was more, as Roger said, kind of a rusty brown, I believe, reddish brown. And there was some prints out there they've been able to strip out or got a copy of it, and were able to get that level of color back up and out. Mm-hmm. And he said, let me shoot that to you and see how that goes. And this is after weeks. And he shot that to me and sent me some others. And from what I was doing, and I've been talking to him about my technique, and it's really, and this is the crux of it here, is a lot of it, is he started showing people and talking about it, people screamed AI.
Oh, wow.
And it's just an insult because there's no AI. Computer's not that smart, and you can't just go grab that image and punch it through any AI program and get anything out because it just doesn't do that.
Yeah.
Upscaling is a different thing, and upscaling is not AI. It's the equivalent, if you're into music, it's the equivalent of a hole in a compact disc that's going over a CD player, and when the laser beam reads it, it fills in that hole. You never hear a pop or a skip or a foul note. And upscaling compresses an image without what I call upscaling it, compressing it, yet makes it bigger. And there's pretty technical, but that's what it does. And hey, it looks great. From there, I have several methods that I use where I will take them and I will upscale some images. I will downscale them. I make layers. There is no one way. You got to understand when you're working with the Patterson film and frames of it, like I have, it's the equivalent of doing full auto body restore work on junkers and restore. And you're really trying to produce cream. Mm-hmm. And, I was getting the traction. I called MK. He shot me this stuff. I shot it back to him. And when I shot it to him with the frame 350 as well, you know, he was blown away. And we all were and still are. And he couldn't wait to share it. And he had to put it under his laser eye to examine it to see what have we come up with. And nobody has done a better analysis of my work than him.
Yeah.
And I jump over to his website, folks, and he talks all about it, why it is what it is, and it's a whole show on its own. My point is, I want everyone that's listening, people who are interested in Bigfoot, to see Bigfoot. That's what I want to do. You did too. I mean,
oh yeah, no, that's...
look, for years Bigfoot was wearing a ski mask,
right?
You know, it's like, that's a terrible picture. And so so MK started talking, and pretty soon my name was out there, and there were just people saying terrible stuff. He's out there by himself with this. And then they figured out that I was my dog's profile on Facebook, and they were assaulting my dog and encouraging people to dox my dog.
Oh.
This is the kind of hate in Bigfoot world. It's like, people, steer away from the negative folks. Use that block feature. It's really, really handy. We can get rid of a lot of groups' mess if we just block them. But and they were saying terrible things. They would reach out and say things to me, take things out of context, and I just, you know, I had to get a little bit used to it. But so Todd Gatewood, as my Facebook account got reopened up so I could clear my dog's name and address some of these issues. So here I am tonight, and I wanted to, you know, say, yeah, I'm the guy that put this out there. So one of the things that I saw, and we'll get to the portrait part of it, but I want to talk about the technique.
And I just want to make sure you understand, we are about maybe about 5 to 6 minutes before our next break, and then we only have one more segment left. So I want to make sure that we're getting in as much as you want there, Todd.
Right on. Well, you know, we'll do the best we can tonight, won't
right,
we?
Right, right.
Okay, so where was I? One of the things as a photographer and a technique that we use, and Greg, as I'm talking, you can feel free to bring this up and then slam me off to the commercial break, and I'll pop back in when we're done. But there's a technique ladies and gentlemen, that people use, photographers use, old-time photographers, and I was trained by old-time people. It's called Vaseline lens, and it's out there. There's plenty of information, and it's where a photographer would take Vaseline and put it on a lens and develop a picture. When I looked at the Patterson frame, what I saw was someone that had manipulated the frame, maybe taken the frame, photographed it, done Vaseline lens to it, and then reinserted it in a film format. I'm not quite sure. I have some theories, like, you know, people. Mm-hmm. But so I was seeing that right off the bat. And so one of the things that came apparent was when frame 352 really was brought about and hit its peak, which is the best version of the frame out there. There's no question. Even by the clarity in Dr. Meldrum's papers, they've got a scale on what makes it clear with these certain branches and the certain fuzziness, and the amount of clarity they're able to reach has not ever been touched by what I've got. And it's exciting, and it tells you something, too, mm-hmm. that there's a better version of the film out there. And we're dealing with, because when you're dealing with film, well, we're getting ready to go to break, I know.
Right? Well, no, we're fine, but I'm wondering if is there anything I can put up on screen to show? Because we keep referencing frames, and I don't think people know what we're talking about.
Yeah, put up while during the break. Let's put up that double Vaseline lens frame of the two versions.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk. People can look at that during the break, and we'll talk about it when I get back.
All right. Why don't we go ahead and do that? Because I think we'll just put as much as we can to the end of the program. We have one more segment after this. Let's go ahead and do that. We're going to take our break. When we come back, we're going to finish our conversation with Todd Gatewood about all of this Patterson-Gimlin film. You're listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. And welcome back to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. My name is Greg Bach, and tonight we are talking about the Patterson-Gimlin film. And we have Mr. Todd Gatewood on, who has done extensive work on it. We've have up on screen something. I'm taking it down for a second. And Todd, just let me know what you want me to have on screen while you're talking. That is not a problem. And also, so you have an idea of how much time we have left, we have roughly about 16 to 18 minutes left of the program. So that if that helps you kind of figure out the timing for the next for this last segment. Why don't you pick up where you left off, Todd?
All right, listeners, we have a lot of information to cover, and I'm going to try to chainsaw through it, but more later, of course. So, Greg, go ahead and bring back the picture that was up during the
will do.
The commercial. And what you're looking at, folks, is when I got to this level, what I see is on the right, my right of the screen, and it's the Patterson-Gimlin frame 350. And you'll notice, as I've highlighted on the left side, there are areas of that frame that are just out of focus for no reason and then in focus. And that reason is you know, say what you want. To me, it's Vaseline lens. I brought examples of it to show and whatnot. We're not going to go there. Just trust me, Google it. It's there. We want to get to a lot of this, and then I may even get a question in. So as a photographer, I'm seeing this technique that's been applied, and I'm thinking, what's going on here? Why would they do this? And I'm starting to realize there's a lot more going on to this. So, Greg, if now let's bring up the portrait, because, you know, I brought people here to see, I want them to see Bigfoot.
It's
important. This is the star of the show, not me. Bigfoot is the star of the show.
Do you want,
I want them to see.
350 or 350 best?
350, let's see, 350 best. The one that says best, I believe.
Okay, we'll do. Folks, this is beautiful. Here you go.
Okay, there she is, guys. So, listen, when I was putting that through my system and I went to bed, I got up at about 2:30 in the morning, and then I walked in and I saw that.
Todd, when you saw that, what was going through your head at that time?
The computer monitor, I thought. I knew I was staring at a Bigfoot in my living room because, listen, I'm not an artist. I can't draw this. I didn't add anything. There's nothing else on. I'm doing standard old-time stuff, working with the best frames I can, and then here we are, and I see her, and look at her face. Part of this that I'm going to get through into is, we've got just so much time, is that, look, folks, there's a big narrative. There's always been people, they want to slip and say, it's a monkey, it's a big primate. Look, if it's a big monkey or a primate, those people, I got to congratulate you've been outsmarted by a big monkey or primate. It's not. It's a type of human. We call it in Oklahoma your kissing cousin. Mm-hmm. That's your kissing cousin, y'all.
Yeah.
And it's a type of human. I think you've been misdirected a little bit, and so does MK and some other people. Some really important people to this, and it's kind of a modified version of what I was wanted to present tonight. But we've got plenty of time to get to know each other and go over a lot of this. But the key people and you guys seeing more of what's coming is Dr. Bruce McAbee and his wife, Jan. Dr. Bruce McAbee, as I mentioned earlier, is world-renowned and things. I'm the archivist for the Patterson film, and they have the original copy that was in Roger's camera.
Wow.
It came from Eric Bieckford. It came from Roger Patterson. When Roger Patterson was making a deal to tender the film to a production company, he was rather he was type of salesman, a bit of a huckster, a bit of a, hey there, come on. Do you really think he gave them the original? No, he didn't, because friends and listeners, there is a version out there that's going to blow your mind, and it's owned by Dr. Bruce McAbee, a friend of Eric Bieckford, who was also a friend of Roger Patterson.
Wow.
That film is going to show you something you haven't seen, and, you know, one, you've been told that's the film, this is all there is. Well, there's more. There's more at the end. And also, there's a baby in there. And you don't have to take Todd Gatewood's word for it. He's just a hayseed from Oklahoma that's, you know, working on this with a really good gentleman by the name of M.K. Davis and some really kind people. But Dr. Bruce McAbee has said on the record that there's a juvenile that goes from a tree to a rock that has motion in of approximately 3 feet in size, approximately 20 feet in distance. And this has been removed from the copies that people see, which begs the question, why?
Right.
So if you go back to looking at Patty and say, there is a person, and we have now a toddler, a bipedal creature, a bipedal human cousin of ours out there, why don't they want us to know? And this takes us back to 1967 in the civil rights. And listen, folks, the national economy is tied into forestry and mining, and they put aside 3 million acres for the spotted owl, a native people who we have a terrible record with dealing with. They don't want to deal with these people, and it's a fact with the native people. And you have to go to the natives to understand Native Americans. The Bigfoot are a tribe, and when the white people came, they didn't like our guns. They said, "We're going to the high country." And we're going to come down during the salmon runs. And if you tell the whites where we're at, we'll come take your women and children. That's why you're not going to get led to them. Mm-hmm. They're not. They're like us, I'm told by the elders, but very different. They're not fun to trade with. They are known to take things. They do have a language. It's an ancient dialect of Salish. We can talk more about that. But the Patterson film, and let me go to the Maccabees. The Maccabees and Bruce and Jan have a documentary being filmed. They're very private people. All these ends are taken care of. And right now, they don't need the heat from people. And there's only so much that can be said. But look, it's big news. And when Bruce McAbee goes on the record and says, there's a juvenile. Now, look, there is some signal-to-noise ratio in those scenes. But you know, as a photographer, one of the things we can do with that signal to noise ratio is get in there and pixel drill it and see what's in there and get it out. But if you can see it, he can see it. And here is Jan McAbee is the one who has discovered this. The credit, it's real teamwork. She is the one, folks, that has brought to the world's attention that there's more to the film and there's a baby in that film. And really what we want to get to, and it's the most important if we can get this into this whole thing, is one thing that we want, and it's going to bring this issue around, and that is recognition and protection. That's it.
Yeah.
Just recognition. There is this, and protection. You can't harm them. You can't trade in their hides. Okay? So that's a really big deal. That's where we have to
we have to raise the bar of the discussion in this community to these sort of things, and then you're going to get people on board, social anthropologists, spiritual leaders, people as such. It has to have the Native American community involved heavily.
Mm-hmm.
And there has to be a dialogue. We don't want them in our society, and they don't want in our society, but it's a type of people. Now, if you want to bring up quickly that one three skull, the three picture,
yeah,
to, you know, we do have some visual capabilities still and a little time. The handlers of the film and the people that the handlers put out might have said, if you look at the skull on the right, that's a Gigantopithecus blackie. This is an ape. They've wanted you to think that's an ape. But look to the left. They've also knew that there was a Homo heidelbergensis. And, yeah, that's a little smaller one, but, you know, not. We don't know what age that one was that we're looking at, that fragment. But look at that skull, and which one does that does her face belong to? It's pretty obvious. You don't need an eight-year degree to figure this out. So it's got to get moved along quicker. People have to recognize this is a type of a human.
Yeah.
We have to protect, and then we have to develop dialogue. And this is where it's going. So Dr. McAbee, in all his years with UFOlogy and the disclosure that we're getting now that's coming out in little bits and pieces, the Bigfoot world's going to go in a quantum leap on disclosure like we have tonight. Folks, there's more film. There's a baby in there. There's humanity here.
Yeah.
This is not a discussion for people to go, is she 6'3"? How deep are the footprints? It's not that discussion. That's a distraction. If you take a bunch of, I know as a farmer, if you take a bunch of chicken feed and throw it in the corner of the chicken pen, that's where all the chickens run. And if everyone's agreeing to throw chicken feed in the corner, everyone's going to run to that corner. And if they say that it's going to be a giant ape, that's what they're going to think. It's a giant ape. And that's what they want you to think. It's not. It's a type of person. That's why you haven't got to meet them. They don't want to meet you. They don't want to talk to you. They know they can get diseases. That's a whole other topic. So there's a lot here. We're trying to unpack a bunch, and I'm trying to motor mouth through this, man. So how am I doing?
You're doing good. Okay? I just want to say real fast, yeah. Jan is listening. Sure. I don't know if you know that she's watching tonight.
Yeah. I haven't looked at anyone's comments, but we spoke before the show.
Real fast, she just says, yes, because Bruce thought I was crazy, saying that there's a baby walking until he saw it. He said that once you see the juvenile, you cannot unsee it.
Yeah, don't take Todd Gatewood's word. Take Bruce McAbee's. Look, this is a team, and we're working. MK is going to be involved. We're all involved in this. I'm not telling you if it's been done, where it's at, because that would not be good. We need to have, you know, Christmas is coming, kids, and be good. There's a lot of good surprises for 2024 soon. And, you know, soon as, you know, Kid Before Christmas or Led Zeppelin time. It may be closer to Led Zeppelin time, but it is coming. And you know, go put Patty back up there on the front. I want people to see her face. Go wake up the kids. Wake up Granny. Y'all wanted to see her. I've been wanting to see her. Look, there she is. Harvey Pratt, an Oklahoman, forensic sketch artist for the OSBI, co-author with David Politis, the Hoopa Project, has sketched many eyewitness accounts, and you get this type of feature, human features. The ape narrative did not come from most witnesses. It came from John Green and the people who came in right after all this scenario and tried to create a narrative, and they did a darn good job, and they kept it going. But too many people are interested to find out what really happened. Why is the film so jaggy? Why does it run? Look, I saw that film, and I thought, what's wrong? Where's the rest of it? Why is she walking into the woods? Why are we on the sandbar? Now we're far away. That makes no sense. And
yeah.
They say it's never been cut. I can prove it. It has. So can MK. So we're going to get to that. How are we doing, Greg? We want to take a question, 2, 3.
Yeah, because we're about 5 to 6 minutes out before the end. Just kind of looking through real fast here. You know, we could always, and definitely if Todd wants to come back on, we can talk more about everything. You know, it's interesting. I don't see any questions, but we do get a lot of comments. Lynette says that the eyes are very, once we showed the picture, the eyes are very big and clear. On NPR, they were interviewing some people that personally saw Bigfoot, and the two men said that it looked very clearly at them with these big expressive eyes. They said that they were too scared at the time to enjoy the experience. You know, the thing is, Todd, that picture shows That shows someone with emotion, doesn't it? That picture of her.
Yes, my friend Beverly, when she saw one in the middle of the stream, that was what she was taken back by, the eyes. You know, when this came out, people were seeing a man with a mustache in the eyes. I didn't even see that. And it's like, look, guys, I don't know. I can't tell you what's there because I do what I'm doing with this, and this is what came out. It's not drawn, and people, I'm not an artist like that. Okay, I wish. But this is what we have, and it's just amazing to me. She is really gnarly looking and big and scary, beautiful in her own way. So, you know, hey.
Absolutely beautiful. Absolutely. Yeah. And Doug just says, and I think you all are gearing up for this. He wants to see more of this. And, and that's what you all are providing.
Yeah. It's coming, guys. It's coming. Lots of good stuff. And I want people to see this picture. You know, they're still showing a lot of these crummy shots. Hey, show some of the good Davis Gatewood work. And there you go, man. Look at that. Look at the background. See, I do have a background, landscape photography background. And this is stunning. There's so much detail in here. And we could go over it, but there's tracks. There's tire tracks. There's bloody dog prints. There's hand prints. There's all kinds of goodies. There's people that see Bigfoot in the background. I'm not sure, but we're going to see a lot of things, and we're going to see better copies, and we're going to see it that in a manner that people want to see it in the 2020s, you know, 2024, 2023 coming. MK Davis, everyone owes him a debt to this film because he has done more than anyone single-handedly. He has done so much, and we're going to talk about it more. I'm going to be back, and I'm looking forward to it for sure.
Do you mind if we put up the because we had talked about the Vaseline real fast. We have a few minutes left,
No. And
we didn't look at the big. We didn't look at the close up when you were trying, and I forgot about that one. This one, Todd. What do you think?
It really sticks out here, guys. Look at this. So you've got where they've outlined Patty, so they want her clear in this frame, and there's a really hard corner there, and hard edge, and there's no reason for that. We can drag out and parade a conveyor belt of experts on optical resolution, imaging, and distance, but there's one thing for sure. Once you set a camera to infinity at a certain distance, things are in focus or they're not. They're not sporadically in focus in the field of view. They're not. Things are moving. There's some action. There is that going on. But what you're seeing or what I saw and what people like me see, MK for sure, is it's not – the story's being – covered up. So that hard edge there is just really a smoking gun of, hey, it's been monkeyed with, to use their own term. So even look at that log, you can see how it's been blurred. And I'm not adding anything because if I want to go through there and clear that, there's a process in the restoration of this where digitally photographing it from two different angles will actually be able to stitch together and have all the resolution, have all the detail. And it will be filled in. Will it be AI? No. Will it be an algorithm? Yes. Is there a difference? Sure. Everybody uses an algorithm on their computer in some fashion when they go adjust a color on a photo or something. It's very simple. It's a slider going back and forth, and it makes things brighter or darker, and it's no different. I do that all over the place for hours on end to no luck, mostly. But we have good stuff and big things coming, big things. The clearest picture seen, unbelievable.
I can't wait. And, as we are wrapping up here, not to put a rush on you all. When do you think we might see something, or is that still just out there up in the air? You're taking your time to make sure it's done right.
Yeah. No peeky at the Christmas present.
don't unwrap the corner, right?
Right. Soon. There's still a lot of traction to this, and there's people out there. I want to talk to them. I want to work with you. I don't know who you are, but if you know there's no box, you can think there is no box because there's no box to think outside of. I know there's people out there that can bring things to this discussion and help. They're out there, and let's have a discussion. I'm easy to find. So, and stay positive, everybody. Stay positive.
And if you can't find Todd, reach out to me, and I will direct you to him. Todd Gatewood, we are out of time. Let's talk a little bit afterwards, see how we can go forward with this. Todd, thank you so very much.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, really appreciate it. We're going to have him back on. Tomorrow we're talking about the JFK assassination and not the conspiracy theory. Everyone have a good night.